You can feel it, can't you? Something shifting, something breaking through. This isn't just a voice, this is a signal.
Up walls inside your mind so you would never truly find. But in the silence, in the space, there's something time cannot erase. A quiet knowing deep and slow, calling you to take control. No more waiting, no more doubt. Welcome to a St. Thomas show, where the truth begins to glow. Not above and not below, it's alive inside your soul. This is where the veils come down, where the lost are finally found. Hear the call, it's time to know you're alive on a St. Thomas show. Every fear begins to break. What was hidden comes to light. Day emerges from the night. You don't need a crown or throne. You were never not your own. Every answer that you seek lives within, it's yours to speak. Feel it rising. Feel it now. Welcome to a St. Thomas show, where the fire starts to grow. Not a whisper, not an echo, with the truth you came to know. Step beyond the old control, take it back, reclaim your role. This is where your power flows, right here on a St. Thomas show.
Greetings, 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 and salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. I am St. Thomas the Twin. You can call me Arrow. And my co-host, Rob Anderson, are you at the table today?
I'm at the table for sure.
Awesome.
I'm
awesome.
Grateful always, to be here. How always, are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm at the kids' table.
Yeah? You're at the kids' table? You know, I did that. I think I was 38 years old at the family gathering thinking I should be with those kids.
Yeah. The kids' table is way more fun.
Yeah, it is. It was like, I was at the adult table just going, this is the wrong table.
Yeah. There's weird energy at this table.
No. Good. Always family, always love, love, love family. I want to do some thank yous. We want to thank Sheila, our production manager. She's always in the house. And always welcome to come to the table anytime she wants. We want to thank Don and Doug at BBS Radio. They are 100% our technical support. We are all excited to see the new platform. They are creating a new website, so coming soon we will have an up and coming new sensational platform. And any I want to encourage anybody, if you write your own music or sing, have music, you don't want to be owned by a music label, call them at BBS Radio. If you just are questioning, maybe you should do a podcast, but you don't know where to get started or you don't know what to do. Them guys are great coaches. They've done our banners, they've done our music for us, they help us with our titles. They are just very encouraging and very knowledgeable and experienced at what they've done and will help you on the way. I've even seen books advertised, and they have a TV platform that I can't speak to because I don't know anything about TV. I'm not interested in having my picture out there. But call them if you have any questions. Let's see. Oh, thank you. Thank you to the listeners. We don't have a show without you, the subscribers, the one-time donations. Your support is absolutely golden. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support us, I know the low platform is $5.99 a month, and that helps us maintain the show and keep it running. You can also, if you don't want to make a monthly commitment, you can go to the right column. At the bottom of the right column, there's a donate button, and you just put in a St. Thomas show, and you can do a one-time donation. That it just anything helps. Next Sunday is also at noon at Central. It's my alternating show, the Project Review with Q&A. And after today's show, you might want to call in. I'm going to encourage you to call in on that show with any questions or any insights or anything you'd like to share. We also have a Q sister, Teresa Songbird. She's on BBS Radio Friday at 3 p.m. Central. Her show is called All Learning Reimagined. And what the series she's working on right now is self-embodiment, and it's learning to get to know yourself, which is a lot of what we're going to talk about today on this show. And it's just a great series. She's in like 7 or 8 of her episodes of her series, and her show's 30 minutes long. It's a great little thing to just tune into and get some great insights. Our Q brothers, Johnny and Kevin, on Q Men Perspective, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central. I absolutely loved their show yesterday and was highly inspired. And I want to talk about a post that Elon Musk put out that they have on that they were talking about on their show. But great brothers, they bring a lot of humor to the table, and all three great light beings. I encourage you to check out their shows. So, no further ado, the title of our show today is Let's Do the Work, Go Within. Just want to encourage to do the work. A lot of people show up and they want to create beautiful things, and they don't want to have struggles, and they want these things in their life, but they're not willing to do the work. I mean, how many times can we talk about the commands? How many times do we say go within? I don't know.
Can
how do
I
you
ask you a
feel? Do you
question,
feel?
Errol?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we might have like touched upon it at other points, but what does go within mean to you? Because you tell somebody or suggest go within, it's like, what the F does that mean, go within?
Yeah.
It's easy to say, but unless you've listened to 3 years of Ron Amatron shows or Q shows, what does go within mean? Like, what does it mean?
It's a good point because it took me years to get it. When I first heard both of them saying that, go within, I thought they meant meditate. And I even was like convicted at the moment. I was like, oh, meditate. Like I work these 12-step programs, and there's an 11th step that says improve your conscious contact, and it has to do with praying and meditating. And I've always thought, yeah, that's like the least of my 12 steps that I do. Like I struggled, you know, sitting still. I always had really antsy energy. And so, yeah. And I've tried a lot of different meditation things, but yep, to me, too. that's what I thought it was. I thought it was go within, which for me, I thought, you know, then I have great revelations and I'm going to see, like, you know, have great dreamlike revelations and see great insights and be inspired with knowledge of going forward and doing something. And for me, going within is, so they really depicted going into the heart as opposed to the mind.
Yeah.
And so for me today, it's calming the mind. And maybe even like for a long time, I was trying to turn off my mind and be empty and have no thought. And I never succeeded at that.
Yeah.
What really helped me was somebody that said, pick one thing and focus on it, whether it's a color or a shape, or, and then they said, or you could pick like your favorite scene, whether it's a beach scene or a mountain scene. And my problem was I sat on the beach and it was so active. Like I seen birds flying and the waves rolling in and I could hear the birds and hear the, it's like, that wasn't singular. Like it was an active scene. So yeah. What really helped for me was a color. And sometimes I am a huge crystal person, so I can put a rock in the palm of my hand and then focus. That's one of my main little topics of let's do the work is looking at what am I focusing on. So if I'm going to call meditate or go within, it's stopping all the chatter in my head and focusing on a singular thing. So that could be the rock in my hand, or it could be the color or a shape. Some people see pyramids. I don't know. So
one thing I'd like to add to that is
yeah.
that we're not actively eliminating the thoughts in our mind, because that's putting our thoughts on the mind, but rather letting the thoughts in the mind dissipate because we're focused on something else.
Yeah,
great.
That's a great point, Sheila.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Rob, let's throw the question back at you.
Well, I really resonate with what you were saying, because I mean, I remember, like, there's so much pushing meditation and kind of, I always, like, ever since, I remember being like 5 or 6 years old trying to meditate at Taekwondo, and it's like, I came here to learn punches and kicks, like, and now you want me to sit still for 45 minutes? And like, I don't think that like, it's good to be still, like, but you can be moving with a still mind, you know, but, and you can be sitting still and have a racing mind. So what good is meditation, especially like, and you know, Ron said he wasn't necessarily against meditation, but don't go outside your body. So if you're sitting there and you're daydreaming basically, or you're thinking about not being in your mind, or it's really difficult to just be, and what's the point of being meditating? Like, we're here in physicality to do things. And I like the Essene Gospel of Peace. They say only in movement is life. Well, I don't want to sit still if my mind's going. And so it's like, if you're trying to do something, you're creating a negative experience, in my opinion. You're not at one with what is. So that's why the mind to heart drop is powerful, because you're commanding the energy. And so you're not resisting what is, you're switching the focus and you're bringing yourself in. A lot of the times, like I always tell people, like, all our problems are in our head, and they're either in the past or in the future. So unless somebody's actively punching you in the face, the only thing hitting you in the face is your thoughts. The only thing punching you is your thoughts, right? About a situation that either has already happened or potentially might happen. And so for me, going within, I think now I do the mind to heart drop and shrink wrap my aura. And it's just about being totally present where you are, like 100%. Like, that's what going within, like Eckhart Tolle talks about inner body awareness. So now when somebody's talking to me, if I'm getting triggered, it's like, okay, well, what's triggering me? Why, you know, so I go into my body, okay, my hips are tight or my back is tight, or like, my legs are tense. Like, I just want to run out of here. I don't want to listen to this person anymore. But why is that? So what, because all those triggers are gifts. So going within to me is listening to your intuition, being present in the moment. I don't think it has anything to do with meditation, because I'm of the opinion and have been for a long time, because I, like I said, as a kid, I tried meditation. I tried it again, 10 years ago when I was on spirituality, focusing on the candle and all this stuff. And it's like, these are stupid rituals, in my opinion, that have no validity. Like, I would rather, this morning I went for a hike in the forest with my mom. That was going within. That was more meditative than sitting there doing mantras, affirmations, just going for a walk in the forest. Amazing energy, and it was beautiful. And so for me, going within means to just be literally in our bodies, in our hearts, in our, like with all of our energy, contain our energy within and be present fully where we are. And that's it.
That's a good, so I like that, and bringing out these words, because like I said, when I first heard them talking about going within, I thought it was meditating, but even the word meditating now, I connect the word with mind energy, right? Kind of like dreaming, like you said. And so going within, so the mind to heart drop. I just want to assume everybody tuning into the show today knows what that is, but we do commands, and we say it three times. Spirit within, take the thoughts in my head and place them in my heart. Spirit within, take the thoughts in my head and place them in my heart. Spirit within, take the thoughts in my head and place them in my heart. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, heart. And then I breathe, which that also, I think that is the best thing that I like to focus on today is my breathing. Somebody got me because a long time ago I was struggling with this thing and I couldn't sit still. And so they would have me go on a mundane walk, not one that had a lot of interaction of different stuff, but just something where I didn't have to think about whether I'm stepping on a rock or stepping off a cliff, but something that didn't take my attention. And she had me just walking, but focusing on my breath. And focusing on my breath and focusing on my breath. And she said, if all of a sudden something does get my attention, don't start condemning myself or correcting myself. Just slowly bring my attention back to my breath, back to my breath. And recently, a lady that I was doing a session with, she tapped her upper lip. She said, bring your focus right here. And she tapped her upper lip. Now, when I'm focusing on my breathing, I can literally feel the air going in my nose through my upper lip, and I can feel my upper lip when I breathe out. And I thought that was a very interesting focus that and that's recent. That's just really new for me, just feeling my upper lip as I breathe.
And that's good, because focusing, I'm a real big fan of the breath, and I think that that's like the final step to get there too, because I used to do Wim Hof breathing, but that's a lot of mind energy too, because you're doing it for a specific purpose. And okay, you can hyperoxygenate your blood, which is probably better than shallow breathing, but you're still, you get to the point where if you're really at peace, you can be aware of your breath, but you're not even needing really to focus on it. You're just experiencing it, and that's a part of going within. That focusing on your breath or experiencing it, witnessing it, that's part of going within to me, because your energy is within yourself. It's not broadcasting out. You're not, I always call it like spiritual fishing, like reel in your spiritual energies, because we've casted our lines to the future and to the past, and we're, chewing on memories or anticipating future events. It's like reel it into the present moment.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting because you just brought up another topic I wanted to. So focus was one. What I self-awareness, right? Just stopping and acknowledging what is it I'm experiencing? What is it I'm feeling? Where's my focus? What am I focusing on? But also attaching. What am I attaching to? And you just brought up like a memory. I had a little struggle this week. And it happened 2 weeks ago. Something happened at work, and I didn't quite realize how I attached to it. but I attach to it. And then this whole last week, I'm at work in the memory of what happened. And, you know, once I attach to it, boy, I tell you, there, I just, then all kinds of mayhem gets created and frustration. And I found myself complaining. I had to hear myself complaining one day. I was at work complaining out loud because I held on to it. I was attached to it before I was voicing it and expressing it. But because I kept hanging on to it, finally I had a day at work where I was complaining and maybe a little out there. I wrote a cute little sign and taped it up where no customers could see it, but everybody in the restaurant could see it. And so, you know, I was making a point. And so, you know, I came home from that night and realized, man, I really, you know, was out there complaining. And that's right. And then finally got turned around, but I had to realize where I was at. I had to realize what I was doing. I had to realize what I attached to and where did it go? Where did I get this? How far back did it go? Where did it start? How did it build? And how did I create it? I created it. The people at work, there's nothing changed over a week and a half with everybody I work with. It was me that kept compiling and attaching. And you know, I just want to, you know, explain that as we start learning to witness ourselves and hear ourselves, and see what, just watch what we're focusing on and then identify, you know, I created this, I did this 'cause I attached here and then this is where I took it. And then, you know, allow myself to be, in the process of learning and waking up and acknowledging who I am and learning to do it different. And so detaching, you know, why did I have to carry that for so long? I don't know, maybe to bring it to the show. That's all I could think of. I kind of woke up from it the last few days. And well, I was at work last night and had a great night and laughed and giggled. 'Cause a girl that wasn't even at work the day I put the sign up, I started saying something to her. Her 14-year-old son, it's his very first job. He's one of our bussers. And I was getting ready to tell her, man, he's doing such a great job. And he's my favorite busser, you know, and he's brand new, but he's become my favorite busser. He's so energetic and enthusiastic to learn and work. And I was getting ready to say something and she just started chewing my ass out. And all I could do is giggle because I know she wasn't there the day that I put the sign up, but I'm like, well, obviously people are talking about it. So you know, I just had to laugh. And then when she got done, you know, chewing me out, I was like, I was just going to say that I really love your son. He's doing a great job. And she went, oh, well, I heard about the incident. And I said, you know what? I don't even know what incident, because for me, last week had 100 incidences and I left them all in last week. So, and then we just laughed and giggled the rest of the time, but
yeah,
it was cute. Somebody was talking about me.
I think you touched on a good point there though, because I experienced that at work too. And so, and it has to do with going within. And I try, like you said, the inner awareness, paying attention to what you're thinking, why you're thinking it. Am I being a dark side practitioner using mind energy, even being like, oh, I wish this person would understand, like, you know, just, and I'm like, I catch myself. I'm like, okay, I'm being a dark side practitioner because the light only works in the now. That person's not here. So I'm sending them some sort of like psychic mental attack energy, even if I don't think it's just, it's like, I actively try not to think about people, but that's what's difficult about this is because we were taught, you know, being religious growing up, being Catholic, you got to think of others, you got to pray for others. That is the worst it's psychic attack energy. And it took me until I heard Ron speak about it over and over again for it really to make sense. Because you thinking about somebody or having an opinion even, or, you know, a judgment of them is basically going against source, because source is free will, free choice. So it's like, well, you know better than the divine what this person should be up to, you know? So if you could just come into acceptance of that person. And so what I say now is I say, that person is perfect the way they are. They're just running a program just the way I am. Maybe they're not at the same level as me or whatever, but even that's a judgment. Or, you know, like, what level am I at? There's no way to judge that. But I just say that person's perfect. That's who they are. That's where they are. That's what they said. And, you know, like, and so if we can change that dynamic. And I think a lot of the going within, I didn't realize this till recently, is it's within our DNA. Like if we understand that every cell in our body contains every thought, feeling, experience from our whole lives, but not only that, but all the generations from our previous ancestors, the ones that missed ascension all those other times. Some of us, we don't know how long our body genetics have been here. You know, we could have been here for 100,000 years. That means you have an incredible amount of information, data, experiences, and emotional charges within you. So when they come up, that's what going within is. That's your opportunity to release them, is to say, hey, this is inside of me. I can, and I need to get it out, because it's created a charge. It's created an energetic blockage within me.
You know, and the realization that I create my own reality. Sometimes those other people who were saying is perfect, they're saying what they're saying to me because I'm drawing that to me. I mean, even people like Q, Q said something to me one time, and it took me a week to really chew on why did he say that to me? And Dawn, I called in the radio show one time and talked to Dawn about a subscription, and it was voting, and it was a political conversation, and he asked me about who I was voting for, and I gave him my blanket political statement. I had already it was so this was like October that I was talking to Dawn, and I made a decision before January 1st that if anybody started talking to me about politics, my go-to is the only thing I have to say about politics is I love you no matter who you vote for. And that really came from because I had a booth out in public and I didn't want to have political conversations at my booth. And I had a book from Robert Kennedy Jr., The Real Anthony Fauci, for sale on my table. So it brought up that's how it started. A guy came up and started talking to me about the Kennedys, and it got political. And we had this conversation. I didn't want to do that again. And so then Don kind of he big brothered me is what he did. But he accused me of being, you know, you're letting people bully you into not having a voice and not have and I took that. The only reason Don said that to me is because I attract that. That's part of my assimilation. That's part of it's a pattern that I had witnessed. Q pointed it out to me. The matter of fact, the last time I talked to him on the phone, I hung up a phone and he had asked me, "What is it that you have with every single relation in your life?" And it's this false accusation of somebody's always accusing me of something. Always, it's like kind of like the lady at work who started chewing me out for something she thought I was going to say about her son. It was like, yeah. And so now I don't have to react. It's like, oh, there goes that program again. Here we go again. You know, it's just an ongoing running program. And but just recognizing it and acknowledging it for what it is.
And that's the thing. I hope that if there's listeners out there, and they're experiencing it, like even for me, like it's constant work. Coming back to the moment is a moment by moment thing. There's no, you know, you don't, there's no like pill where you do it. Like you keep doing the commands every day. Like it's, maybe the gaps between them get longer. But like for myself, every morning when I get up, like it's still weird when you have dreams, and if your dreams are parallel lives and you come back to this body and you feel kind of out of whack. Like it usually takes me about 40 minutes in the morning to like get myself together. Okay, I wake up and then I drift back to sleep, and then I'm in a dream world, and then I'm like okay, I gotta get up, I gotta get up, I gotta focus, I do some commands, and I have to actively remind myself to do commands, because I mean it's only been a couple of years since I've been doing them, so it's something that it's a process, right? So it's daily work. It's moment by moment, and that's the thing, is everybody thinks that it's there's some sort of magical pill or, you know, solution out there, but no, it's actively just keeping on doing it, keeping on doing it, doing the mind to heart drop, commanding your spirit to be back in your body, whatever the commands are, shrink wrapping your aura, closing your crown chakra. Those are things you're gonna have to do multiple times a day, until you know you can be grounded and sustain it for longer periods.
There is a flip side to all of that too. I find that occasionally I go way off to the other side where something really good happens and I feel like in that moment I'm elated. And then all of a sudden I attach that to all the stuff in the future that could possibly happen because of this really exciting thing right now.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself to detach from all of those possibilities and just choose the next step.
Yep. That's really well put, Sheila. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's so easy. Like, even myself, it's so easy to get sucked into daydreaming. You know, like you do, like you said, even yesterday I was looking for places to stay in Pennsylvania on our motorcycle trip with my brother. And I was so excited because we found this little place, and then it wasn't available both nights, and I'm getting into this like fantasy, and I'm like, oh, then what are we going to do now? And it's like I've spent a half hour in my head about something that's not even here yet, you know? And so that happens with so many different things in our lives, and I'm the same way. It's like I'm trying to just be more balanced, and when, you know, it's not that you can't have a good celebration or be excited about things, but just realize that life is changeable. And like I've been so excited the past couple of years with, you know, projects moving forward, and then 6 months later something happens, and you know, circumstances change, the deal falls through, and it's like, oh man, like now what? You know, now you went from elated to deflated, and so that's you've been taken out of peace energy on both sides of it, right? And so now I'm trying to just be like, okay, this is good, this is a win, I appreciate it, but on to the next thing, on to the next step. Don't focus too much and sit there and daydreaming and fantasizing and imagining, because like the CCR song, it someday never comes, right? It's always just now, and it might not pan out the way you expect it. Is I think the lesson that we all learn in life, right?
I like that you brought up excitement, Sheila. And my theory on excitement and joy, and in a 12-step program, they call it the pink cloud. But then they want to shoot it down like, oh, it's just a pink cloud. It's not real. I'm like, bask in it. Bask in it. Just sit in it. Just breathe in it. Just instead of go to the mind and think of all those future things, just enjoy the moment and ride it. Ride the wave of excitement. To me, because that's I, so I wanted to bring up, I titled it Let's Do the Work. And I thought, oh, how dull, or how drudging, right? Oh, work, yuck. We learn work is a four-letter word. But the reward is so awesome. There's so much joy and excitement when I've been practicing and practicing and practicing something that, you know, all this new stuff, like the commands, when I can get to see the results of it, when I get to see the fruit that is born out of the work that I do, it's really worth it. There's so much joy, so much peace. Sometimes I have to go through things again, like maybe being falsely accused and not reacting. But it's like, my gosh, I've spent a whole life of being falsely accused and reacting. And so this one time, I just stayed at peace. Matter of fact, I giggled. It's like that's really rewarding to get somewhere with the work that we do.
And like even the laughing is a good way to dissipate the energy, right?
Oh, laughing is great. Good little vibrating belly works. It really works for me.
And that's I'm glad you brought up the laughing, because it can be frustrating sometimes, I'm gonna be honest. And I think like even myself, I'm doing this work, I've been doing it, and it's like some days it's just so hard to stay in the moment and not get upset, not anticipate, oh, now what's going to happen? Oh, this is going to happen, and then I'm going to have to do this, and creating these silly little scenarios. So, you know, bringing your attention back to the moment. But if you can just laugh, so a lot of the times, like I just laugh and I'm like, well, they got me again. I'm out of the moment. I'm out of peace, and or whatever it is, and just kind of like laughing, like, wow, it's so tough to stay in the present moment and not beat yourself up about it, right?
Yes, but that's just a practice too, right? It's
Yeah,
just a
yeah.
practice, and it gets easier. It really does. That the last night, I mean, I needed this girl to chew me out the way she did, because what happened after that, we're working, right? So we're constantly moving in the restaurant. I'm going out to the table. I'm going in the kitchen ever for like the first 15, 20 minutes after she yelled at me, every time I came in close proximity proximity to her, I just started giggling because it was so funny. And I kept giggling and I said, thank you so much, man. You just made my day. I just can't quit giggling about that. And it kind of made her giggle because she had worked like a lot of doubles in a row and she's really tired. So it was good for both of us, I think, just to break a giggle out for a while. We did it. We kept it up for a while. It was good.
Yeah, can I add something to that?
Yeah.
Just a question for people to ask themselves and notice. And sometimes people say, you got to learn to just laugh at yourself. But there's another question. What if you laugh with yourself?
Yeah.
That's a good
one. These,
I like
that. The words. Yeah. Bringing attention to the words we use, just observing what are we focusing on? What are the words we're using? What are the things we're speaking out loud? They have so much power in the creative senses of what, you know, we are the creators of our own reality. And when we start realizing the things that we speak out loud, we can start connecting the dots on how we're creating, how we're bringing these things into our life. A lot of it has to do with the things I said just a second ago, and it'll show up, you know, but I might have just been speaking without consciously being aware of it. But so just acknowledging, becoming the observer. And the one thing that Q said one day, and it just baffled me, he said, the answer to this human experience is to not care. And I couldn't wrap around that at all, because I thought my great asset is that I care. I have a beautiful heart and I love and I care. I care so much. I care about myself. I care about the people I work for. I care about the job that I do. I want to do a good job. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about, you know, how many times have I been in a job where the coworkers are complaining because I'm making them look bad. And I'm like, oh, whatever. Right? Like, I'm just going to focus on what I'm doing, but I care. I care about the equipment. I've seen, you know, some of these coworkers, they just don't care about the equipment of the employer. I'm going to take care of stuff. I'm not going to damage stuff. I'm not going to, you know, I care, I care, I care. Well, you know what? This whole last week is part of my problem. I cared what time I went home at night. I mean, that's where it really started for me. We were there really late, and there's a whole backstory behind it that it's in the past. I don't even want to dig it up again, but I cared. I cared about what other people were doing. I cared about what other people weren't doing. I cared about what time I got out, what time I got home, how soon this happened, how soon that happened. And then I attached to it and then I wouldn't let it go. But this care thing, it's like I care. And even when I care, here's another thing. I'm out bird watching and this little creature came out of the grass that turned out to be a little kitten. And I was like, a kitten? And I said, hey. And it started meowing at me and came right to me. Now, the boys that were playing soccer, I can't bring a kitten home. I've got a cat that's pretty alpha and she's not going to accept it. And I said to these boys, I said, do you guys need a kitten? Because here, look at this. And they said, oh, yeah, there's like four of them over there in the grass. And they're tiny. So they're... But I know it's not feral because a totally feral cat is going to run from me. So somebody has to be feeding this cat or dumped it out there. Mm-hmm. Something. This cat came to me and, you know, I attached to that kitten. I couldn't quit thinking about that kitten for like 3 days. And I kept telling myself, I'm not going to feed it. I'm not going to feed it. Because if you feed a cat, you're the owner. Anybody listening, it's my theory on this. You feed a cat. Now you're responsible for continuing to feed it. And if that little kitty's going to live out in the world like that, I'm like, you got to figure this out, dude. You got to figure out how to hunt. Now, I did take it a little water. It was like 99 degrees out and it had been for days. and there's no water right near where they're at. And it looked okay, but I couldn't get this thing out of my head. And why? Because I care. And I have this thing in my head that tells me, oh, poor kitty. Oh, poor kitty. It's like,
Yeah.
so how do we not care? How do we go from, and I know how many listeners on the Q show said, I just want to help people because we're so trained to caring.
Well, and I think that's a good question to ask yourself because you do. Like IQ also said, take great care. We're universe creators, take great care, but not to care what other people think. And so it's like, it's difficult to get to that point because, like, I had a conversation with somebody the other day and we were talking about what other people think, and I was like, I don't even care what I think, let alone what other people think. So, like, it's practice, right? So you want to have quality and care in everything you do. Like you said, there was something that you mentioned about, the stuff at work or whatever, and I made a note of that because I do that sometimes too. It's so easy to get into that trap of like identity, mine, theirs, not caring. But I too, when I'm at work, not only with the employer's equipment, but I'm out, treating people's trees and going through their gardens and their homes, and people take great care of that. So I, like, one lady actually like commended me so much. She like called the office to give, like, oh my God, Rob did such an amazing job. Like, she was just so happy. She's like, thank you so much. And she's like, can I request you next time? And I was like, I'm sure you could, depending on if I'm close by doing the run or whatever. But she said, like, you did such a great job. And I said, well, that's because I treat it like it's my own. Like, I treat your home, your backyard, like it's mine. And I'm not taking ownership over it, but who's to say it's not? If we're creating our own reality, well, everything kind of belongs to no one, but belongs to all of us at the same time. So if we all treated everything as if it is ours because it is, like, we're here, we're creating it. So take some effing ownership for it and treat everything as if it's yours, because in a way, I think it is. We're all here together, but alone. But we're creating our own realities, and it's like, unless I go out and create stuff, I don't know if anything actually exists. Like in the light, nothing is created until you go create it. So if you're the one creating it, treat it as if it's your own.
There's a lot of what's the word paradox? Does that mean like if I treat it like it's my own, I'm going to treat it well, but I don't want to care for a thing like I own it because then something happens to it, now I care. And then it you know what I mean? It's like I
Yeah,
don't want
totally.
to care. It's like it is an assimilation and I can create anything I want. So why am I going to get bent out of shape that that thing got broken or that someone stole it or that, you know, it's hard. It's really challenging. Yeah, I don't want to say it's hard. I want to say it's challenging because sometimes I can get excited about a challenge. I like to play and a challenge is like a puzzle. I like it. It's fun. It's entertaining. And maybe that's it too, is just getting excited about it. And that's what I did when I finally went back to work to have a good time. I finally had to make a decision. I'm going to be excited about going to work and I'm going to be excited about rolling silverware and I'm going to be excited about whatever it is.
Turn everything into an art, Be present, do it with grace, and
Yeah, art, I like that.
the art of everything. Just, sweeping, doing the dishes, like Eckhart, I always go back to that, doing everything in a sacred manner. I have that written on my computer screen, like it's on a tab and it's just sitting on my computer. Do everything in a sacred manner. And that's, it's okay to put care and quality into it, rather than doing things haphazardly. That's when you stub your toe. That's when you make mistakes. That's when you forget things. That's when you're out of balance. So take great care, but don't care. Don't be attached. I think the don't care is don't be attached to the outcomes. Because you mentioned
That's
something
a
that I
good
think is
one.
very important about, I do this and I do that and I say that too, and then we create this thing. It's mind energy. Like, well, I'm a good person and I deserve this, and I treat everybody with respect. And then something happens, and then you don't get the respect, and you're like, well, why did that happen? And so it's still mind energy, right? Whereas, like, meh, it is what it is. It didn't work out, or they didn't appreciate it. I didn't get a thank you. That's the way she goes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're
Yep.
not like, I have the same thing at work. Like my supervisor, the guy, I don't think the guy's ever said like, good job. You know, everything that happens that I do, it's like, well, why didn't you do this? He never, or you should have done this, you should have done that. He never asks, well, why did you choose that direction? There's no questions. It's like, you should know this, you should do that. You know, and it's like, and so it's tough. It's like, I don't even want to tell this guy anything because he just always has something to say about it, you know, or like, and it's always kind of on a negative thing. And I'm like, okay, is this in me? Like you were saying before, is projected to me. It's like, I can see that I have been like that, or I'm like that sometimes too. I get frustrated. Maybe I'm short with people. So I just say, okay, it's not a reflection of me. And that's, I think sometimes, that's, I think, kind of like the dark side thing. Like, our body's bringing forth what we need to heal. But I think that, like, things always happening to us, it's not always necessarily us, the reflection of us. Like I love the saying, like, other people's opinion of me is none of my business. And it's true because other people are there, you know, if in light, everybody's doing their own thing. We're not all one, we're separate energies. So it's like sometimes people having a bad day, like, I don't think that we necessarily attract that. It's like, that's that person. You got sucked onto their timeline, you know. It's not like, and that's why I'm being, ever since, you know, Q and Ron, I'm being more conscious of timelines that I get involved with. And you know, like you, I was always like, oh, I always feel like I needed to jump in there and say something or do something or had the solution to everything. And now it's like a lot of times I just observe. I don't say things. I don't put people on timelines, or I try not to create them as much as I used to, at least.
I really like, there's a new girl, and I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of when she first started, I had my judgments and I observed that I was judging, but she started this thing where she would come by me and she goes, "You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. You're doing it." And then she would do it to everybody, and it got really contagious. Everybody started saying it to everybody, and it really turns like the whole mode around too. It tickles me when she's at work because it's a contagious thing to go around, and we just all started saying, "Hey, you're doing a great job." So she doesn't work enough, right? Just came in, the new person. She's just got a couple hours, but it's really a joy when I watched it take off, and she got other people saying it, and it's really a great, it's a great work phrase. And doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what your judgment is. It's just a thing to say to each other that really keeps the mode up. A positive. It's a very positive mode.
Well, and you
And
know, that's a perfect way to look at it. And it brings me back to something you were mentioning earlier about why do we focus on the negative? Like, so, and I realized in myself that, and it's just a habitual thing because other people do it. So, like, you know, when we get back to the shop from the day and everybody's talking, well, how'd your day go? Oh, you know, and it's just like an immediate, like, going to the negativity bias. And one day I was like, I don't want to get sucked into that. And so, like, I got back to the shop and somebody asked me how my day went. And I was like, you know what? My day was amazing. Like 99.9% of everything was like, I'm here. I arrived back. So that means I didn't die. You know, the blood's pumping through my veins. My truck worked. There's thousands of parts in my body and in my truck. And I drove through the city. I went to people's houses. I got everything done. Like, so much had to go right for me to be standing here right now asking that question. So why focus on the, oh, you know, this happened or that happened, the small things, the 0.001% of my day that went wrong. But it's like, it's a lot of times in this world we have such a negativity bias with the news, with social media, because the drama, it triggers that in the, you know, it's like triggers that duality, or it triggers that fight or flight, the cortisol, and people love it, you know. Like, it's geared towards that, you know. Like, where if somebody's like, how'd your day go, and deep down inside it's like, we want the drama, you know, we want to hear something. It's like, well, it was very peaceful and nothing too crazy, nothing to write home about, you know. It was a day, but there's so much that has to go right. And why do we focus on the one little thing that was bad? And like you said, maybe there's something that happens and we stew over that for 3 days. Well, why don't I stew over the fact that today's a brand new day, and that has no relevance in my reality unless I choose to keep reinstalling it, you know?
Yep. Focus, attachment, learning to not care and being the observer. And you know, I heard the I this was great. Everybody's heard the, are you focusing on your glass is half empty or is your glass half full? And I heard some guy say, I am truly blessed that I have half a glass.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then, then the engineers in the building say, the glass is twice as big as it needs to be.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And then people with the poverty mentality, like, why are you not sharing what's in your glass? You're hoarding whatever is in there. You're hoarding that liquid.
We have to laugh. How about if we just all share the glass today and we all get a drink from the endless well of strength and abundance, and it's endless because we just create another glass and we create another filling and we create another whatever we want. We are the creators.
Is that a definition of communion, Errol?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think that might be a topic for another show, definition of communion. Because, mm-hmm. There was a brief time I was in that church and did communion too. So that's a great St. Thomas show topic for sure.
I think that that's an interesting one as well, because I was having, I was like looking at the words and, think about it, like they call church mass. Well, what is it? Mass consciousness, mass pools of energy. So thought energies, prayers, good and bad. And everybody thinks, well, I'm a good, back to what we were saying. Well, I'm a good person. I pray for others and I pray for things like that. But you're also, what we don't realize is that everything is seeking balance. So if you're praying for something, we're immediately, like Ron always said, P-R-E-Y, you're drawing the opposite to you. And then I thought of another thing too that most people never point out, and I've never heard anybody else mention it, but it's like, I don't know if it's like that in every church, but I'm pretty sure growing up, our church was called a parish, but it was spelt P-A-R. But if you think about switching the words around, parish, well, what does the word parish could also mean? Like to whittle away, to die or be destroyed, right? To pass from existence. So, what happens to your spirit when you go into a community or a church or a mass? Well, you perish, your spirit perishes because you're sacrificing yourself to the collective consciousness, which is mind energy, right? Following the script. So you're perishing your spirit. And I thought, like, nobody's ever picked up on the word that they call their congregation a parish.
Or it's just that some of us are now learning the black magic behind our language. And so we might have new listeners, and that's kind of what we're talking about, is the different words. Like when I go around, say, good morning, I'm wishing everybody good grieving. And that's engineered. It's engineered in our language it's horrible. I used to go around every day saying good morning to everybody, wishing everybody good grieving. And, until we wake up to the words we use. And I liked, Teresa brought up the word decide. To decide, we are so trained to make decisions. And to decide, side means murder, whether it's pesticide, suicide, homicide. And so, I don't decide today. I choose. I'm going to choose to have a great day. I'm going to choose to get excited about something. I'm going to choose to sit and observe and not react. I'm going to choose today. So it's just becoming aware of the world around us, of the engineering behind our language, behind our program thinking, the way we've been raised. Use your rationale, use your thinker. And we don't want to make those decisions with our mind today. We want to choose from the heart. We want to get into the hearts and make all of our choices from our hearts. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Go within. And let's do the work. Let's get excited about the work, because the rewards, my life over the last few years learning all this is just really, really changed. I really am excited today to get out of bed and to live my life and to have fun and have joy and have peace. Peace is just so golden. So I treasure my peace today. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and so like what takes us out of peace? Well, being attached to an outcome or assuming that something should be different than the way it is, not becoming one with what is, right? That's, you know, well, this shouldn't be happening. Well, why? Well, because you think it shouldn't be, but it's happening, so how are you going to deal with it?
I
You
hate
know?
to interrupt this, but we're about 7 minutes before the hour. Do we want to wrap it up with final words?
I want to do a little song. I usually do my songs early, and but I wanted to bring a lot of this work and discussion out first. And this song is called "Strength of Your Spirit" by Alexa Sunshine Rose. Trust and allow. Trust and allow. Trust and allow the strength of your spirit. Always, whoops, squeaky, sorry. Always trust the strength of your spirit. Always trust the strength of your spirit. I was trying a little higher today. It's a little my natural tone or voice. I'm not a music person. I don't know the proper language, so I don't know if I'm using lower notes or lower tones. But normally I sing, I trust and allow. That's normal and natural. And I wanted to go a little higher today. Got squeaky on me.
It's difficult to find that like where your voice actually is, right?
Well, this whole singing thing is quite a practice for me. I blame my brother Q constantly for me being here singing in front of people. And but it's okay. I just have to be an example. It really doesn't matter how I sound. It's really it just the singing has become such an important tool in my life. And this Alexa Sunshine Rose sings absolutely beautiful. And I just like to encourage these people who are singing to me and filling me up. It fills my spirit up to sing with them and listen to their music. So, yeah. So, Rob, you got some closing for us today?
All I had, so on the topic of going within, I don't know if I ever shared this on the show, but I think it, even if I did, it bears worth repeating. It's from the Ringing Cedars book, and it's like about the parable of the two brothers, right? And so really interesting, if you've never read it, it's very interesting. But what the inscription is that he puts on when he goes back after a lifetime of traveling around, on his brother's property or whatever, I think it's all you seek, wander, you carry with you. You will find nothing new and you will lose with every step. So that's when we're looking to the outside world for answers, that's when we keep losing our spirit to people, places, things, experiences, substances, all that stuff. So to trust that we have the answers within ourselves and that we don't, you know, like I don't know if you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but I grew up watching The X-Files, and I always talk about this. And the truth is out there. So, you know, that was our tradition, you know, all through the 90s, watching X-Files. The truth is out there. The truth is out there. Well, that keeps programming. I was programmed to look outside of myself for the answers. So finally, I realized that it's time to go within. And so that's the thing, is that don't seek the answers on with, you know, anything outside of yourself, because you have them all within you. And that's the, like the doing the work is, it's better to go for a walk in nature. Though that's where the answers will come, not calling your friend or going out. And you know, so just trust your spirit, trust yourself, trust your intuition, trust your gut instincts.
Beautiful. Trust the strength of your spirit. Go within. Find your heart space.
What about
Be
you, Sheila? What
kind.
have you got?
Oh, I say that our spirit is within, and it's with our spirit that we develop a relationship. But that relationship is like a relationship with ourselves, our true selves. So when I say laugh with yourself, that's the self I'm talking about.
That's probably where the Buddha laugh comes from, right?
Ah,
The
I
laugh of
love
the
it.
Buddha.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys, this is a great show. Let's call that a wrap. Love, love,
All right.
love.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate everybody, Arrow, Sheila, Dawn, BBS, all the listeners. Thank you all so much. It's been an awesome show.
Love, love, love.